Hope, encouragement, and direction. Who among us don't desire those simple elements of life? Well, they could be found right here in God's Word, and we'll look at them in depth here today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. It's all right here in God's Word. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. That's what's been promised us. Won't you join us for the next few minutes as we take a look at some of those promises, some of those challenges and encouragement from God's Word. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we study God's Word together that we might grow in grace. Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, we left off yesterday in Romans chapter 4 with our discussion of the nature of saving faith. What is faith, and how has that the whole doctrine been confused today when we talk about this crucial statement, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That is a crucial statement of Genesis 15:6 that Paul cites here in the book of Romans in the first few verses of chapter 4 to make his point as he asks the question, what did Abraham discover about his own flesh? That he was a sinner. And then he says, for what does it say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And we use faith today, faith all the time in a way as if the basis of our justification is our faith, as if the value lies in our faith, and that our choice to choose God, and therefore God's acceptance, is based on our choice of Him. It really is a wicked thing that we have found to contribute to feel secure about, that we have done something and rest our confidence in our act of believing rather than what Christ has done. Here's the one thing you can do in the whole equation: believe. And in the system, we leave the impression that our belief is the work that justifies us, without any understanding that our belief, our faith, is something that Christ has secured for us as a benefit for us on the cross. Now, part of that, we said yesterday, was a result of our confusion with regard to often how Jesus spoke of faith in the Bible. For instance, we remember Bartimaeus, where he was the blind guy sitting outside of Jericho, and Jesus went as he was passing by, and this blind man cried out to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus says, "What do you want me to do?" And he, of course, says, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." And then Jesus heals him and says to blind Bartimaeus, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." When we hear that, doesn't it make it sound like it was my faith that healed me? And so again, we run up against the nature of saving faith. What is faith? Is it the one thing that I can do? I mean, we put this yesterday in this hypothetical scenario. Let's just say Bartimaeus went home to Mrs. Bartimaeus that night, and she looked at her husband and said, "Honey, you're healed. How did it happen?" He says, "Honey, my faith made me well." What's she going to say? "Well, where was all your faith all these years before?" Bartimaeus isn't going to say that. If you ask Bartimaeus, "Look, how did you get well?" Is he going to say, "I did it, my faith"? No, he's going to say, "I met a man, and that man was Jesus. Let me tell you about this man. He had the ability and the power to save me." You see, from Jesus's perspective, and that's the whole point here, from Jesus's perspective, his healing occurred through the means of his faith, because it was a faith given to him by the Lord. But from Bartimaeus's perspective, it was all Christ. And so that's what we run up to here. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. How do we understand this? What's the it? Something has to come before this to explain the it, a noun. But it's not here. Paul applies that in Genesis 15:6, of course. Paul applies this to the heart of the message of the gospel. Again, Romans 3, "But now a righteousness of God is revealed apart from the law," verse 22, "even the righteousness of God through faith." So then we put this together. Abraham believed God by means of faith, and it, the righteousness of another, the righteousness that is we've talked about over there that Luther called the alien righteousness, foreign to us, the righteousness of Christ was accounted to him for righteousness. That's what he's saying. So this is where our theology means everything. And this is why I get so troubled today that, you know, you walk into the Christian bookshop and there are all these sports heroes and these great actors and figures of our society who in 2 weeks have made a decision for Christ and then are talking about this. And they have no clue as to the basic points of the Christian faith to understand this, which speaks of faith being a gift and no understanding that it's Christ's righteousness imputed to our account by faith. In fact, all the language of the Bible is thrown out to compromise with the language of our culture. And so we think about it. The question then, are we saved? If I ask you this today, are we saved because of our faith? The answer is no. Our faith has no inherent value to make us right with God. We're saved by means of faith, through the instrument of faith. This is what God has said, I'm going to save you by the means of. And when Abraham believed, and that belief was a gift, God granted and credited to his account the righteousness of Christ as if he had never sinned or been a sinner. And not only that, but as if he had been perfectly obedient, as Christ was and would be, of course, obedient in his place. And so what we have to see is exactly what Ephesians 2 says. By grace you have been saved through what? Faith. By the means of faith. And that's the whole thing, my friends. Grace and faith. That is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So salvation is not of works, it's a gift of God, not lest anyone should boast in his presence. The grace and the faith, which is salvation, is all a gift. Abraham's faith was a gift from the Lord, and through that means, God justified him based on the perfect and complete righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a very hard thing to get through our minds and to understand because really we don't like it. It removes our autonomy. It says basically you have nothing that you can do to earn this. There's nothing you can do to get this. It's something that comes as a gift of God. And we fight against that because we think that wrecks our autonomy and our freedom. And the people of Jesus' day didn't get that, in fact. I mean, they came to him, and what was their message? What shall we do, John 6, that we might work the works of God? Jesus responded very sharply to that. What did he say? This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. So did you hear that? God's work is to work true and genuine faith in you, the very means by which he justifies you, declares you righteous. And so that leads us to the grand question, what did Abraham believe? You know, we generally think that if we believe, have just a little general belief in God, that if I just believe in him and I sort of accept him, then I'm in. The question, of course, first is whether he accepts us. No one really ever asks that. The problem is why does everyone just assume that he accepts dead sinners? I remind you that James says even the demons believe in God and shudder. What did Abraham believe? We believe the same things we do, and this also gets lost. Galatians 3 makes this very clear. Therefore, he who supplies, this is Galatians 3, 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Did you hear that? It was not just some general belief that God would make him into a great nation, as glorious as that was. It was what lied behind that promise. It was what really that promise meant. What was it? Well, he says here, the gospel was preached to Abraham, and that directly contradicts all those who think today that they weren't saved by gospel in the Old Testament, but by law. Look, just like you sitting here today and hearing the gospel over the radio or in your churches, so the Lord preached the gospel to Abraham. That's what Galatians 3 says. The same message of Christ and him crucified. And it was for this reason that Jesus could say to the people of his day, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. He believed what the whole Old Testament was pointing forward to, Christ. And so, my friends, the whole Old Testament and New Testament sinners have been saved with one salvation plan. The gospel has been preached since Genesis 3 forward, Israel, the saved Israelites, were not saved in any different way or with any different method other than we are saved by Christ alone, by grace, through faith alone. And God gifts belief into the heart of the dead sinner, making it alive. And through the means of faith, he declares the sinner righteous based on the perfect life, obedience, and work of Christ on the cross to save sinners. It's a glorious gospel. Now, as wonderful as that is, many people today don't see their real need for it. It's a real sad thing that the example of Abraham doesn't impact us as much as it should. I mean, if we could just hear what I expounded today and it has no real impact upon us, the simple reason is that you don't think you're that bad of a person. There is, however, one other example that Paul gives us here that most likely will have a very real impact on us about this truth, and it's David. Look, if we think about verse 5 here, listen to what it says, and we'll pick up again with this tomorrow. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted to him for righteousness, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed is the man whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. If we know the life of David, that takes on such a meaning, doesn't it? An adulterer, a fornicator, a murderer. And David says, blessed is the man whose lawless deeds are not only forgiven, but their sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. That is a wonderful gospel, that the Lord, when he looks upon a sinner and sees Christ's righteousness, he shall never hold his sin against that sinner, but sees him so covered that he looks upon that sinner and sees the very righteousness of his Son. When that message sinks into our hearts, it produces the most joyful, vibrant, relevant Christianity, whatever word you want to use, because we see how glorious a gospel we have and how rich we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as usual, we always extend an invite for you to join us for worship this Sunday at the Linden United Reformed Church. Our worship service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We have a very, very big concern in our day that the gospel should be preached from all of Scripture, showing sinners, of course, their sin, but then lifting them up with a wonderful, comforting truth that in Christ there is a righteousness that is available to us by which is imputed to our account by faith. That's a glorious message. Join us this Sunday. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.